Greetings and welcome again to our study on the wisdom literature. And we are going to look at the book of Ecclesiastes during this session. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is not the best known book in the Word of God. I have to recognize that. But it is one of the three books in the Word of God that were written by King Solomon. Let us look at these three books. First of all, there was the Song of Songs. That was written in the springtime of his life, and it was filled with the joy of union and communion with Christ. It was when he first came to the throne. And then he wrote in middle age the book of Proverbs, which is full of practical suggestions and admonitions concerning wisdom. And then at the end of his life, he writes the book of Ecclesiastes. And essentially this comes from the Hebrew koath, and it means one who is a preacher, one who addresses an assembly or a teacher. And King Solomon was a remarkable man because he was king of Jerusalem and also the preacher and teacher there in their synagogues. But the book of Ecclesiastes is almost equivalent to a Greek tragedy. You see, Solomon started off so well. And how many people start life well? Some with even a silver spoon, as it says, in their mouth. But there you are. They start well. But you know, in a race, it's not the one who starts well who is rewarded with the gold medal, but it's the one who finishes well. And so it is in life. Because the Apostle Paul likens the Christian life to a race. And he says, you know, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How we finish life is of the utmost importance. How we finish a race determines whether we are going to receive a medal or not. How we begin a race is important, yes, but it doesn't determine in actuality the outcome of the race. What determines the outcome of the race? It is patient continuance in well-doing. Whether you're running a race, a physical race in athletics, you've got to constantly run with patience. You've got to keep your eyes on the course. You've got to keep your cadence. You must increase it in actuality when you're nearing the finishing line. But you've got to continue. You've got to patiently continue. Well, that's the same in life. And that is the same especially in the Christian walk or race. Well, King Solomon introduces himself as the son of David and king of Jerusalem. But regretfully, in this book, it's really a testimony of his latter life. And this is how he describes himself. An old and foolish king that will not receive instruction. Oh, what a description of this man who was given more wisdom than any other person at the tender age of perhaps 21, 22, something like that. God met him and he said, what do you want me to give to you? He said, wisdom. And God gave him wisdom and understanding, discernment, and you know, he blew it. Well, wisdom, as we've said before, is to keep the laws of God. And he just didn't. You know, in Deuteronomy 17, there are specific laws for kings. And amongst those laws is he mustn't multiply wives. Do you know he had 1,000 wives? And you know the reason, apart from a number of other things, why one shouldn't multiply wives is that they will turn him away from God. And he got wives from all kinds of countries and so forth. They turned his heart to other gods, save the real, true, and living God, the God of Israel, and the God and Father of us all. Well, there you are. And so, the end of his life, he was an old and foolish king that would not receive instruction. And that's a terrible thing. You know, old, well, yes, each one of us is going to be old. I understand that. Although, when you're old, you don't feel old. You know, you feel as though you're young still, your spirit is alive and it's joyful, and you're always pressing on. You always want to increase your knowledge. You know, you increase your experience and so forth, and do works of good. You know, you don't feel old, but your body, of course, tells you something else. Yes, you can't do what you did when you were young. Well, old, yes. But then he said foolish. In other words, he lacked wisdom. The one who was given so much wisdom becomes foolish. Oh, what sadness. And then the other thing he said, you know, who cannot be instructed. That's one of the things that you must never lose in life. The ability, the desire to receive instruction. You know, instruction comes from God, but it also comes from members of the body of Christ, from other people. And we want to always be open to instruction so that we can acquire knowledge, so that we can enhance our understanding of things and increase in wisdom. Well, Solomon did not. So what is Solomon's appraisal of life? He starts off, by all his vanity. And what is vanity? Do you know what it means? It means everything is meaningless in life. Oh, Solomon, how can you say that? God said that he has not created this world without purpose. God has a purpose for the creation of this world. And you understand it as you understand the Bible. And God has a plan for each one of us. And God knew us before the foundation of the world. And God wrote our names in his book before the foundation of the world. Oh, God knew us. And God has a purpose for us. And he created none of us without purpose. And everybody that came into this world, birthed into this world, was given life by Christ. Well, how are we going to continue this? You see, here is a man filled with the wisdom of God, and his appraisal of life, it lacks meaning. Well, you know, I've read a lot of things, of course. And I remember a certain actor, and his name was Errol Flynn. Now, this is going back, I don't know how many years. But his favorite book was the book of Ecclesiastes. Well, that's really what his life was, without purpose. And so he could understand Solomon. No. Solomon is wrong. Solomon, you know, says everything is without purpose. What profit, you know, is there in life? What profit is there if I do anything? Yes, Solomon, you're wrong. Everything has purpose. And, God calls the generations from the beginning. You know, I met a delightful pastor in Wales, one of the parts of England, United Kingdom, and he told me this at the end of his life. He said, "I have served my generation well." Oh, what a wonderful testimony. He, far from being like King Solomon, who said, "Well, there's no meaning in life," he said, "I have served my generation well." Yes. You know, we can only influence, actually, not the past generation, but the present generation. Can we say, as Pastor Danny, "I have served my generation well"? King Solomon couldn't say that. He couldn't see the meaning of anything. No, King Solomon was wrong. But, oh, how different it is when you look into the Word of God and you see the purposes that God has for everything he does. You know, one of the great things that you learn from the Word of God is the study of the character of those who have lived before us. They teach us a lot. You see them being born, you see them being raised up, you see them living, and you see them dying. And you know, the kings that followed Solomon, well, there were some who were righteous, like King Jehoshaphat. Now, King Jehoshaphat was a very interesting person. He was about the fourth from King Solomon, and he was a righteous man, and he sent forth teachers of righteousness throughout his kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. Well, there was a flaw in his character. And the flaw in his character was that he made an alliance with the wicked king of Israel, Ahab. Well, he went to battle with Ahab and very nearly lost his life, but God protected him. Well, when he came back from that battle where Ahab was killed, a prophet of the Lord went out to meet him and said, "Why should you honor the wicked, those who hate God?" Now, here he is, a righteous man being reproved. But when Ahab died, King Ahaziah came to the throne and asked King Jehoshaphat for help, and he gives the same answer as he gave to his father. "Well, we're flesh of your flesh, blood of your blood. Yes, I will help you." And he sent a navy with King Ahaziah's navy, and it was destroyed. And again, he was rebuked. And then there comes the second son, Jehoahaz, of Israel. And here, you know, King Jehoshaphat goes out into the wilderness with his army to fight one of the battles for King of Israel. And he well nigh loses his life there too. But Elisha has respect unto him and causes water to come and gives them the victory over their enemies. But the point I want to bring out here is this. Here is a righteous man who would not listen to instruction. You see, he did not change. And you know, that's one of the terrible things in life that we learn from Solomon. Though rebuked, he did not change. He did not change. You see, he broke the laws of God and therefore ended up in a morass. And you know, the wonderful thing of life is this, that you think, "Oh, if I do something wrong or if I do something right, well, that's fine. You know, what does it matter? Oh, let me tell you this. Do you know what the Word of God says? That wicked works alienate our mind. And so, when we do wicked works, you know, the terrible thing is this, that what happens is that our mind is changed. Our mind is changed. Wicked works set our mind in the wrong course. And they set it in concrete. And so our thinking becomes, shall I say, disorientated. That is why King Solomon makes these terrible statements, you see. You know, that life is meaningless, whereas in actuality, everything that God does has purpose. Everything that God has created has purpose. And Solomon should have known this. At the beginning of his life, do you know what he did? He spoke 3,000 proverbs, 1,000 songs, and so forth. And he spoke of the animals, the creeping things that creep along the earth like the ant. He spoke of those things. And he also, you know, spoke of the trees, etc. In other words, Solomon, at the beginning of his life, had such wisdom, his eyes of his understanding were opened, that he could understand the truths that God had placed in nature. Look what he said about the ant. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. She has no overseer, but yet she collects her food in summer and stores it up for the winter. Now, he spoke of the ant as a symbol of diligence, of diligence. And then it goes on. Trees, for example, are likened, straight trees, trees of righteousness, and trees that are planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth their fruit in due season, are likened unto righteous men. Solomon had all this knowledge. He had all this wisdom. And yet, at the end of his life, you see, all he can say, well, life is meaningless. Why? It's because wicked works scrambled his mind. You know, one of the things that you have to preserve as you get old is your mind. And your mind is determined by your works. And as we stay on the path of righteousness, then our minds become and keep becoming more alert. They contain more knowledge. They contain more wisdom. And I tell you this, you have a lot of joy. And so what I'm appealing to you from the life of King Solomon, from this book of Ecclesiastes, is this. Yes, Solomon in Ecclesiastes did say some very noteworthy things. What were they? Well, one of them was that God gives to the man that pleases him wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Well, what Solomon is saying is this, that, you know, the man that pleases God is going to be well rewarded by the one who has everything. And what does the one who has everything give to the one who pleases him? Wisdom, knowledge, and joy, the three things that are very important in life. Wisdom, beyond the price of rubies. Knowledge, oh, so important. And joy, oh, that gives you life. It's the excelsior of life. It gives you the momentum. Oh, how wonderful it is to have the joy of the Lord, you know, flowing through your veins, flowing through your heart, flowing through your mind constantly. It is your strength. Yes, Solomon was right there. And another thing that Solomon said was in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1. He said, a good name is more important than rubies. In other words, you know, what your name stands for is more important than anything. And you know, Solomon blew it there. Because although Solomon's name is equated with wisdom, at the end of his life, when he had died, you know, the people came to his heir, Rehoboam, and said, your father made our life very hard. So although generations think of Solomon as being wise, the people of his generation did not much admire him. In fact, they almost yearned for his death. They yearned for a new king who would indeed bring them happiness. Oh, you know, I've noticed something in life. It's not so much what people say about you out there. It's what they say about you in the inner circle. You know, do your inner circle, those around you, what do they say of you? Do they say that you're a good man? You know, I remember reading about a certain prime minister in England, Sir Anthony Eden. And everybody spoke so highly of him outside. And then I read a newspaper article and they said, you know, his secretaries did not have the same admiration for him as those on the outside. It's those on the inside that really know you. What does your wife say about you? You know, I thought it very interesting. We've had what the governor of New York said was a miracle landing of US Airways on the River Hudson. And of course, the captain of the aircraft was duly acclaimed for his adroitness and his skill in saving all the people's lives. But you know what the wife said? Well, she said, I know he's a wonderful pilot, but you know, for me, he's the one who brings me a cup of tea every morning in bed. There you are. Well, I think that speaks of not only the fact that he was a good pilot, but he's a very good man. Well, let's get back to Solomon. All the truisms that we can find in the life of Solomon. You know, he said this, that life was meaningless. Whereas the Apostle Paul, a couple of thousand years later, makes this state, a thousand years later perhaps, made this statement, that he was a wise master builder. And the thought of Paul was this, look, I'm living in my generation. I'm laying a good foundation of truth, a good infrastructure for the church, upon which generations later can build. And we thank the Apostle Paul for all his wonderful writings, 13 epistles, full of wisdom, full of instruction, full of knowledge, and we can build upon them. We can build upon them. Can we build upon King Solomon's life? Well, we can build on the negative aspects of his life. In other words, we don't want to be like him. We want to realize that though God gave him all that wisdom, in actuality, true wisdom is keeping the law which he did not keep. Yes, we can learn from Solomon in that we will not live the life that he lived. And that we, by the grace of God, who have received the laws of God, the instruction from God, will keep that. And we will stay on the path. And in staying on the path, our testimony will not be the testimony of King Solomon when he died. But our testimony will be, oh, God is good. God is good. God is good. And everything that I do has a purpose and a meaning. And it is recorded and it will be rewarded in heaven above for all eternity. Oh, yes. I don't want to finish like Solomon finished. I want to finish the race running harder than I have ever run before, determined by the grace of God to fulfill his purpose for my life. The purpose of Solomon was that he would instruct everybody in the wisdom of God. But you know, you instruct more, not from your preaching, but from your very life. And how important it is that as you come to the end of your life, that you are running stronger, more powerfully than ever before. You're running to win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're running to win Christ and to please him and give pleasure to the Heavenly Father. May God grant that that will be the impetus, that will be the stimulus for your life, that you will heed the wrongdoings of Solomon and make sure you do not follow them, but you will keep on the path of righteousness, and it will be brighter unto the perfect day. God bless you.
This series has been presented by Zion Fellowship of Waverley, New York. For those of you who are interested in reading or studying more, you may purchase the book, Wisdom Literature, and many other books from our bookstore at the number which will follow. If you have been blessed and encouraged and would like to donate financially towards the cost of this program, you may do so by calling our toll-free number with credit card details or by sending a check to Zion Fellowship at the address which follows.